Hey there, my name is Sam Okus. I am the editor-in-chief at Nation's Restaurant News, bringing you a very special edition of the Extra Serving Podcast. That's right, this week we are thrilled to go live with NRN's Top 500 list, giving you a definitive look at restaurant chain performance in 2020. We have partnered with Data Central and its Firefly 500 platform on this year's Top 500, and it is chock full of insights that can help you benchmark your own brand's performance and strategize for the year ahead. But we are not stopping there. To dig in just a little deeper on how brands fared in 2020, each day this week, right here on the Extra Serving feed, we are going to provide you with an exclusive interview with a brand leader on how they managed to succeed in 2020 and how they're emerging from the pandemic even stronger than before. These snapshots of success give you exclusive access to the winning strategies that are helping restaurant companies navigate uncharted waters and hopefully will provide you with the ideas for tackling challenges you face in your own business. Stay tuned for more snapshots of success, not only every day this week, but also in the coming weeks and months ahead as we explore what exactly went right for those brands that closed 2020 with positive stories to tell. So be sure to subscribe to the Extra Serving Podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts, and we will be feeding you with those stories, with those interviews, with executives from some of the top 500 brands. Also, be sure to head to nrn.com to catch up on all of our top 500 coverage, including a robust data package with sales and unit counts information for the nation's top 500 chain restaurants. And now, let's roll into today's Snapshots of Success interview from NRN's 2021 Top 500. On today's installment of our Snapshots of Success series for NRN's Top 500 report, I am talking to Charles Watson. He is the CEO of Tropical Smoothie Cafe, an Atlanta-based franchise with nearly 1,000 locations that really defied the odds in 2020 and blew away even its pre-pandemic projections. Charles, thank you so much for taking some time to chat today about Tropical Smoothie and talking about the incredible success you guys had in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. We are tracking your numbers and you guys had incredible performance in a year when not many brands could say that. We're going to get into a lot here in this conversation, but I really want to start just broadly looking at 2020. Now that you can reflect, we're, you know, a couple months past really the worst of the pandemic, and we're over a year past when we all got into this crisis. As you look back on what we went through last year, can you just give me a few sentences about Tropical Smoothie's year? What did the year really look like for you guys, and how you emerged from it?
Sure. Wow, that's a big question, Sam, for sure. The first thing that comes to mind is incredibly resilient and strong and caring and kind franchisees. That's number one. It is, the franchise business is a partnership, and they absolutely knocked it out of the park. Did we do our part? I think we did. I think we're good partners to our franchisees, but they executed. So when you look at those results and you look at, you know, we ended the year at +7.5% in comp sales through a pandemic, right? We fell off the same cliff that everybody else did, -36, -40, et cetera. Yeah. So to go through that and to be an operator standing in what likely could be your life savings that you've invested and have no one coming in the doors is incredibly scary. What do we do for our part? We had to make our franchisees know that we had their back, to put it lightly, right? We cut our royalties 50% for 2 months. No payback, just listen, let's cut them and make sure that you feel good that we're in the trench with you working on this. That was number one. Had to come out with that very quickly. We also looked at how do we turn this into an opportunity, right? The old thing, opportunity is now here or opportunity is nowhere. We chose to take a very positive, aggressive attitude of how can we take advantage of this situation? How can we better serve our guests who are just as freaked out as we are, right?
Yeah.
We live at the intersection of taste, boldness, and health, right? And so we were perfectly positioned to be able to provide with what this pandemic did in terms of underlying conditions and everything that we were learning as it was going on, to be able to serve those guests and serve our communities. We have great products to serve them, right? We had digital channels set up so that we could do that safely. But what the other thing that we really, really had was a place in our communities. And so we decided to lean into that. So we gave away over 250,000 smoothies to healthcare workers and first responders. We did a lot of smoothie drop-offs and a lot of free catering events to the hospitals that were in our communities. One, it was the right thing to do. Two, I'm not going to lie to you and say that isn't good for business and it isn't good for being a member of your local community, but it felt right. It was right. And we supported our franchisees financially in doing that. So it worked all the way around. And Sam, I would say we're absolutely getting the benefit of that in 2021, right? When you go out and you do the right thing and you do it the right way, you're going to get some business benefit to it. So I put all of it on our franchisees, whether it's digital, whether it's community involvement, whether it's operational changes and procedures that we put in place, they had to execute. It's real easy to come up with ideas. It's real hard to execute them. I mean, our franchisees did that better than anyone in the industry, in my opinion.
Yeah. So you mentioned comp sales being up, and I think that's an important distinction here because I think we did see with some companies, they added some restaurants and I think it helped them with their sales performance, but your comp sales were up, meaning that your performance, you drove consumer demand up. It wasn't just a numbers game here. You really drove consumer demand up. And I think it's interesting because as you look at performance in 2020, there are some clear winners with pizza, chicken wings. You know, if you were the off-premises game, clear winners in that regard. With Tropical Smoothie, how would you describe how you drove that consumer demand up? What were you tapping into with your consumers that helped drive the comp sales up?
Sure. I think number one, it would be the product, right? The healthier, boldly flavored, which was very top of mind for people. Obviously, our smoothies themselves being all natural, real fruit smoothies, people get that there's a health component to that. Number two, and just as big, is just convenience. Being any place, anywhere, anytime, right? So we're all sick of talking about standing up digital channels and pivoting and all those types of things. We were just far enough along. When I compare us to a Domino's or a Wingstop, et cetera, that it was there, millions of dollars already invested. We weren't all the way there. We were maybe 60% of the way there, but we got 100% of the way there with our franchisees signing on to not just third-party delivery, but involvement in the app, involvement in curbside, involvement in order and takeaway. So that really leaned into that. So it's convenience. It's, you know, I hate to rip off Staples, but it's the easy button. And so I think we executed against that really well. So the product, convenience, and I would tell you, innovation, even through this, we innovated. We are a limited time offer promo window type of brand. And we did some fantastic promotions with our products that spoke to our consumers who, by the way, when we're all locked in our house, something a little new and exciting, right? Whether it's dragon fruit or star fruit or some of the things we did on the food side that resonated with consumers. We drug that into 2021 with the first time we've ever used the protein shrimp. And what was so great to see about that is that promotion with a grilled shrimp salad, as well as our shrimp, Cajun shrimp wrap, paired with a hurricane smoothie in January and February, right? Kind of that Mardi Gras theme. Our consumers and our guests trusted us with a new protein and felt like it was something that Tropical Smoothie could stand behind and had chops in, so to speak. So that was great to see. So I would say innovation, convenience, and just the product itself.
Yeah, you know, thinking about some of these innovations, you and I probably talked about this at some point last year, because it was really the theme of the year was how, you know, in the early pandemic, everybody has said, oh, you know, 3 months of innovation or 3 years worth of innovation in 3 months. Right. That was kind of the common thing we were all saying, right? Innovation, of course, had to happen at a very rapid pace in 2020. So I'm curious for you, you're talking about this innovation that Tropical Smoothie really leaned into in order to boost your performance. When you think about at the conclusion of 2020, where you were compared to where you thought you would be pre-pandemic. As you look at those two things, how do those two things compare?
We outperformed. We outperformed our own projections, quite honestly. And when you're in a seat like mine or with a company like Tropical Smoothie Cafe and you're at, I don't know, I guess we forecast negative, hopefully we can get to negative 10. Time moves on. Okay, let's get to even. Let's get to this year never happened, right? Let's get to zero. Oh my goodness, now it's August. How about plus one or plus two? And so we kept challenging ourselves to drive additional business, to drive additional comp sales. We did the same thing on the development side, right? Because opportunity is now here is the same on the development side in terms of, guys, I know things are rough right now. Opening a new restaurant into a pandemic seems really rough. but look at this data that we have on our existing cafes and how they're ramping back up. And by the way, there's also other benefits, right? In real estate, in site selection, it creates opportunity. At the end of the day, I love my fellow restaurateurs. I'm an NRA member, an IFA member, but at the end of the day, it's capitalism and it's not two-hand touch football. So we had, you know, over 100,000 restaurants shutter during the pandemic, even with all the help that came out. That decreases the supply. And so the ability to open cafes into that and say you're moving into what ultimately is a less competitive environment just based on raw numbers is a good thing for you with the products we serve, with the consumer base we serve, et cetera. So trying to focus on both of those things and continue to drive ourselves. If nothing else, it started as let's set ourselves up for success in 2022. We actually caught, you know, the dog chasing the bus. We actually caught the bus a little bit in 2020. And we've carried that momentum into 2021. And we're super excited about it. And quite honestly, Sam, I think, you know, 2020 and 2021 is a year that is gonna live in infamy for Tropical Smoothie Cafe, but our accomplishments during it are ultimately gonna change this brand. If we finish the year, we think we will in 2021, you're looking at a brand that's pushing $1 million AUV on $375,000 to $400,000 development costs, pushing, you know, wow, 18 to 20% profitability. Again, not being specific, but around ballpark numbers.
Sure.
You've got something that really works and can fulfill a restaurant entrepreneur's dreams of being their own boss, doing something they like, being a member of the community, mentoring and leading our employees, et cetera. So it's a very exciting time and I'm looking forward to absolutely crushing 2021. We're well on our way.
Love to see the optimism. You know, I think you're starting to see that from some folks, but you've got a real deep optimism here that, you know, is refreshing after the year we went through last year. But I want to dig into that a little bit because, you know, thinking about, when you think about 2020, especially when it came to like consumer behaviors and just the way all the changes kind of came about, it changed the nature of the restaurant industry in many ways, right? Because you started to get some new technologies, new patterns of behavior from consumers. It really just, it changed the game broadly for pretty much the entire industry. And so I'm wondering now for Tropical Smoothie, you know, you're talking about this excitement in 2021. What were some maybe changes that the pandemic brought about largely to just food service that are helping you guys? What are some of the ways in which you guys are able to kind of rise above all of the changes that came down the pike in 2020 and use that to your advantage?
If I'm really honest with you, Sam, I'd love to say I'm the smartest guy in the world, but there's, you know, quite honestly, there, from a technology perspective, from the box, the restaurant box, there's other brands that are ahead of us. But we're a darn good chaser. I always call it the snowplow. And these are brands that I have just a ton of respect for. When I talk about the Wingstops and the Domino's and Panera, when you talk technology, it's technology. You know, it's like, it's the economy stupid. It's technology stupid, right? It's yeah, the app, it's the website. It all, I hate to say it, it's all back to convenience, which I mentioned earlier. What did we take advantage of? I would say we took full advantage of what was out there and that we were working on. And as you say, the things that we were speeding up, we were maybe 50% of the way there and could get all the way to bright during the pandemic versus, you know, sort of towards the end of the pandemic. I think we're going to see far reaching effects. Obviously, we've never been in an environment where there's been so much stimulus. And now, as you know, we're in an environment where we haven't seen this type of labor shortage in a long time. What is it going to create? It's going to create more opportunities for technology to make restaurants more efficient. What does it have to do? It has to still serve the guest. So I say this, it's a goofy term, but I call it hospitality. The one thing I know is that we're in the hospitality business. We are in the restaurant business. I don't care if the smoothie is sent to you via drone, via autonomous vehicle, or via carrier pigeon, that product still needs to be great. That wrap, that smoothie, that flatbread, et cetera, still needs to be great. It also needs to be combined with convenience. It's got to be very easy. So what we're focused on at Tropical Smoothie is with all the different sales channels that there are. Now, I want curbside, I want app, I want web, I want delivery, blah, blah, blah. They're just different sales channels putting our great products through. What does hospitality look like in each one of those channels, because each one of those customers using a different sales channel has different expectations. And so I've got a fantastic operations and communications and training team that are working on nailing that. What do we have to get right on a curbside order? What do we have to get right on a drive-through order? What do we have to get right on? I'd like to walk in and actually sit down with Sam and sit at a table and have lunch. All of those things, it's the spread of what we offer, and being able to do all those things well, I think is the biggest challenge. At the end of the day, from a labor perspective and technology, I hate to say it, but technology is gonna take jobs in the restaurant business. It absolutely is. And those brands that can adapt and overcome to that while still having the ability to provide human to human contact and hospitality, those are the brands that are gonna win.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I have no doubt that that is going to happen. And Charles, I got to tell you, if anybody's going to figure out how to make a carrier pigeon get a smoothie into the hands of a consumer, I think it's going to be you. But maybe we won't regress to that kind of technology just yet. But you know, what you're describing is this omni-channel strategy, right? This idea that you have multiple channels that you're serving food. I've never run a restaurant before, but there's a part of me that wonders if that also can get a little complicated. And you guys are mostly entirely franchised, and you know your franchisees have to be on top of the game with all of this too. How do you make sure that the restaurant of the future, considering these new technologies, considering the omni-channel approach, you're not getting ahead of your skis here, that it's not getting too complicated for the typical restaurant operator?
The reality is, Sam, is that we're starting to get out over our skis. And what I mean by that is the individual operator, our franchisee. We're 99.99% franchise. We have 975 locations right now. We own one, right? So the best operators in our system, it's not us, it's our franchisees, right? And so that's why we partner and we work with them so much. What we're starting to do, we're an overnight success after 24 years, Sam, right? So we haven't gone, we've been an American dream brand, right? Sam and his wife, man, I'm sick of this reporting stuff and this media stuff. I want to get in. I want to be my own boss. I want to run a restaurant. Man, I really like Tropical Smoothie Cafe. No grills, no deep fryers, no hooding systems. Feel good about the healthy component. Feel good about the community aspects. I'm gonna buy and open a Tropical Smoothie Cafe. And that's how we've grown. But like any brand, a Dunkin', a McDonald's, et cetera, over time, you see the consolidation. And so whether it's the omni-channel technology that's going on right now, it's happened with other brands in other ways. The business is different than it was even 5 years ago. It's drastically different. So managing omni-channel on top of managing your P&L, your people, food costs, labor costs, all the different things we do and all the new technology that's coming in to aid that can be too much for some operators. And you know what? That's okay. Because there's other operators that they like the way the business model is moving and shifting and changing and can take advantage of it. Well, that creates opportunities for consolidation. So I think you'll see Tropical Smoothie go through that consolidation phase naturally. We're not doing anything to push any franchisees out. I'm perfectly happy with my single unit franchisee that's doing a great job and loves the money they're making, et cetera. But it is a different business, Sam, and people are going to have to adapt or find other businesses that meet their income, wealth, lifestyle, and equity needs. Because that's ultimately what drives people into franchising, is to meet those underlying needs. We feel like we do a very good job with it, but that's all shifting right now, right? And so it has to be, there's a big franchise development component there that great franchisors need to be really honest about when they're awarding franchises.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because franchising, you know, I always think franchising is kind of its own little world, of course, you know, apart from running a restaurant, franchising is kind of its own thing here. And, you know, I know that franchising really had a lot of changes that came about because of the pandemic too, just like broadly speaking, you know, Discovery Day suddenly becoming very virtual and not necessarily in person, just as one example. But for you guys, your infrastructure for your franchisees, the ways in which you're interacting with your franchisees, how does all of this emerge post-pandemic, and how can you really strengthen the franchise model at Tropical Smoothie so that moving into the future, that continues to be one of your assets?
I think it's efficiency and effectiveness. We were forced into using, I won't use my carrier pigeon example again, but we were forced into Zoom. We were forced into, we already did webinars, right? The system on a monthly basis. We launched a learning management system, right? We're not necessarily on the cutting edge there, but we've got it up and running, and our franchisees demanded it, and we provided a quality product for them. The e-learning side of things how we, you know, the use of, I know it's goofy, but the use of text messaging, right? The use of different communication vehicles in order to get in front of a franchisee that has so much going on. So it's about being efficient, but then being effective. Shooting with a shotgun and saying, I'm going to send an email, do a Zoom, that's what we get into as franchisors. Is if we just send 15 different messages out in 15 different channels, maybe they'll hear one of them. What we've got to figure out to strengthen our system, it's about communication, Sam, right? And I'm so pleased with the team that I have right now, because that's what it's about, all the way from the franchise business leader all the way to the corporate support center. It's getting the right messages to the right franchisees at the right time. It isn't easy. I'm not going to sit here and say we figured it out, but we're doing our best. So it's taking the best of what we learned during the pandemic, and it's still getting my butt on a plane and going to Orlando or going to Detroit to stay in touch with the business on the ground. So I think it's taking the best of both worlds, combining those and making sure that the messages that are needed are delivered on demand at the right time.
So you and I spoke, I really think it was almost exactly a year ago, and we were theorizing on some ways in which we thought that things would change because of the pandemic. And I'm wondering how all of that panned out. So one of the ways, and I think we talked about, was how franchising could change. We talked about the fact that there could be a lot more people interested in franchising, similar to what happened in the recession, that you could have people just tripping over themselves to knocking on your door, wanting to become a tropical smoothie franchisee. And I have to guess that your 2020 performance makes that even more so. So when you think about your expansion, what you can do with franchising and emerging from the pandemic, is there a lot more momentum there than you were seeing before?
For this brand, yes. I'm not big on tooting the brand's horn, but yes, if you look at last year, we sold 254 franchises during a pandemic. Pretty darn.
Wow. Yeah.
At what's today? June 9th. We've sold 191 so far through June 9th of this year. So are we going to be
254?
Are we going to be around 300? Yes, likely. What does that create for us? It creates for us the ability to continue to focus on that partnership at the front end, to really explain to franchise prospects what the business is, what it is now, versus what your perception may be in terms of what it takes to run this business. But yes, we have a lot of demand. When you drive comp sales, you drive AUV, and you're increasing your footprint, you're going to get more demand. Now, that said, I've been through many cycles in franchising, and you're right. When you go through a recessionary environment, you do tend to get more franchise development activity, right? Interest. I think we're sort of perfect storm because there's probably going to be some additional interest, although I think it's muted by the stimulus payments, right? The economy is on fire at this point. So I think it's muted. It's anybody's guess as to whether it's sustainable, right? So there's always going to be some downfall or some recession, et cetera. So I think we're in the perfect position. As I said earlier, our brand should catapult. It really should catapult because we're hitting on all cylinders. When you look at our pipeline, Sam, you know, we have, what did I say, 974 as of today. We'll open our 1,000th cafe in probably August or September. Our pipeline right now is 740 locations that are sold, signed, but they're not open. They're in some form of real estate or permitting or developing. My goal for 2025 was to have 1,500 locations open. We don't actually need to sell any more franchises to get there, right? The pipeline is already there. So it allows us to be secure in our growth footprint, to be really smart about who we partner with, what markets we go to, how we go to those markets from a market planning perspective. So it allows us to do our job even better in terms of stewarding the brand and to really lean into what do our guests want? What do they want from this brand? How can we better fulfill that? And that's where our heads should be all the time, right? Once we got our franchisees secure and profitable and in a good place, again, you're doing both all the time, but we can really lean into driving, our idea of inspire better. Inspire better is that's our vision of what this brand can do in the United States and hopefully in the world, because it's a lot more than just selling smoothies and food. It's about being a member of the community and putting forth positive actions that do a little bit more than just sell a smoothie. So we're excited about that. And quite honestly, Sam, we're excited about growing our footprint so that we can bring that everyday getaway that is tropical smoothie, that 10-minute vacation of sipping a smoothie in your car before you head back into work. We want to give that to more people, and I think we've got the pipeline to be able to do so.
You've talked a lot about people. I mean, clearly the people aspect of this is helping you guys, and very clear that the franchising model, that's a people business. You're managing your people. And look, you've kind of hit on it here, but we've got a real labor challenge right now. But this is a theme in a lot of the restaurants that emerged strong from 2020. People were why, right? I mean, they took care of their people and their people took care of their guests, and it really supported the business. So as we come out of the pandemic, we emerge into the future, let's say we're going into the roaring 20s. What does the people aspect of this look like? How can you continue to build a culture and invest in your people so that it keeps the wheels turning?
Absolutely. I love that question because it is all about people. I agree 1,000%. And to have the opportunity that we have now, for us to continue to grow, we have to drive that idea that I mentioned, our vision of Inspire Better. We've got to drive that into our 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 cafes, and we've got a great plan to do so. And we actually kick that off in October of this year, really driving with our communications team. What does Inspire Better mean to you? The average age of our crew members, as we call them, 16 to 22, Sam. And what I needed at 16 to 22 was I wanted a way to make some money, right? I wanted to put gas in the car and go have fun and do those types of things and go to school. So we want to provide that environment. Remember, Tropical Smoothie, no grills, no deep fryers, no hooding systems. We're not, it's a cleaner, simpler, kind of fun and hip place to work, which we like and we think helps us as an employer brand of choice. So we have those things going for us. But I go back to my own personal experience, which is I never knew I was going to be the CEO of a restaurant company. I'm incredibly blessed and I thank my lucky stars every day. But you know what I started my career at? 12 years old, washing dishes. That's what I did. Now I was 12, I get it. My dad did own a restaurant. So there was no child labor issues.
That's right.
What I did. That's what I did from 12 to 22. And I ended up the freaking CEO of a 1,000-unit restaurant chain. How cool is that? So my vision of Inspire Better is to our 16, 17, 18-year-olds that are working at Tropical Smoothie Cafe is you can learn the skills here. You can be with a brand that has the purpose, that wants to inspire better, the higher calling, which you just have to have in today's business. You've got to be doing more than just trying to sell things. So we've got that piece. And what my team and my communications and training team want to do is drive that with it's CEO school. You have to close up. You have to mop the floor. You have to put the tables, blah, blah, blah. That work ethic and that desire to do it a little bit better, that desire to be a servant leader and serve that guest is a beautiful thing. And those lessons learned will lead you in whatever the rest of your career looks like. We want them to learn lessons and enjoy their time and have purpose. And I think that we can drive that into our system very, very well. And I know for a fact that our franchisees that run and operate our locations are all for that, because most of them, a big part of why they buy a Tropical Smoothie franchise is the ability to mentor and grow young minds, right? That's the fun part. It's when the former crew member comes back and says, hey, I just want to tell you, I learned a lot about work ethic. I learned a lot about attention to detail in my 2 summers at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. And I just graduated from Georgetown Law School. And I just want to come back and say thank you. Those are the stories that franchisees love to tell. And it's very cool.
So that is a great segue into my last question for you, Charles, which is clearly you have steered this company correctly through the pandemic. There's no playbook, right? Everybody was improvising going through this because we've never had to go through this before. You did an incredible job getting Tropical Smoothie through this, working with your franchisees so that they could get their teams through this. I'm just curious for you, how do you feel like you've changed as a leader because of everything that we have gone through in the last year and a half?
Gosh, as a leader, I would say, you remember my background is development, so I talk too much to begin with. I've focused on trying to remember that I have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Right? It's the listening, the active listening and the understanding, and quite honestly, emotional intelligence, really understanding where somebody is coming through. I've got 100 corporate employees that have just like you've been, have been in their house working under a lot of pressure with maybe kids at home or other things going on. Same thing for our franchisees, right? Mm-hmm. understanding and putting yourself, again, there's nothing new here, Sam, but it's walking a mile in someone else's shoes to try to understand that. And I would say trying to be proactive about expressing your understanding of what's going on the other side. So being super aware of where people are and trying to meet them where they are to get the best outlook. Because one thing that we did well was have a very aggressive and positive attitude. And there were a lot of hard franchisor-franchisee conversations that came out of that. But hopefully we gained additional trust, because the foundation of our culture at Tropical Smoothie is trust, right? We are in business together. And so that's what I've focused on, is the individual relationships. And it's just reminded me that that is, always has been, and will remain the number one thing to focus on.
Absolutely. Well, looking at your performance, I can tell that was the right call to make, and you guys are doing an amazing job. So Charles Watson, thank you so much. As always, a pleasure to speak with you about Tropical Smoothie. Good luck to you guys as you cruise through 2021.
Thanks, Sam. Have a great day, bud.